This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
I tell you, we had such a good week. It's been such a blessing. The Lord, this is a season that, we're just so grateful for all that the Lord is doing. We had a chance here a couple months ago to go to Togo, West Africa. And before we went to Africa, I had this dream. And, sometimes the Lord speaks to me that way. But this was one we said, nah, that's probably not from God. But it's the desire of our heart. How many of you know God wants to give you the desires of your heart? He does. Raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. I'm speaking that to you today. Even things that you think, someday, one day. Well, I'm here to say he's a God who grants the desires of your heart. He put them in there. And I had a dream before we went to Togo that Emily, my daughter in love, was 6 weeks pregnant. And I came back from Togo, and I found out I'm going to be a grandpa. So, yeah, I'm changing shirts today. Mm-hmm, there you go, ladies. Okay. So check it out. Mama Bear, Papa Bear, Grammy Bear, and Grampy Bear. All right. Not Grumpy Bear, Grampy Bear. And great-grandma and grandpa are out there, too. They just don't have the shirts. We'll have to get them shirts, all right? But isn't that awesome that God gives us the desire of our hearts? And I'll tell you what, this is a prophetic sign for us today because God's giving us grandchildren in the spirit. In other words, you can have first-generation children who come to the Lord, but then they start having babies and bringing people to Jesus. Then you got generations of blessing. Amen? So, hallelujah.
Grampy.
That's right. All right. So give the little family all your loving. Auntie Bear and Uncle Bear are over there. Yes, that's right. So, we've been holding in that secret for a while. So no social media posting, all right? Your family, you got to know first. But no posting until the kids get to post, all right? But I just believe this is the first of many such blessings in this house, not only in the natural, but in the spiritual as well. And I just am so full. We just got back yesterday from being in Oklahoma at House of David, and it was Yom Kippur. It was the feast that was being celebrated. It was the highest holy day of the year for the Jewish people. And no, we're not turning Jewish, but you know what? The biblical calendar is there for a reason. It's like, how many of you are blessed by stories in the Old Testament of David and Goliath or, pick a story, Noah. I mean, those stories are there to teach us something, as is the biblical calendar. And it's so good, so refreshing. A lot of what we did today, just coming back around to the Lord and saying, Father, refresh me, renew me once more. Krista and I were honored to be in the immersion pool with Rabbi and his team. And we prayed for 350 people yesterday. And I want you to know this. This is just like, it blows me away. Every person that we got to pray for, the Lord gave us a word. Every person. And it was like deadly accurate. And it was like, whoa. People from Wisconsin, people from Michigan. I mean, all over the country. And we just say, thank you, God, that we get to be a part of what you're doing in the earth today. God's doing such great things, and we just don't want to miss it, right? We want to do our part. I was praying about what to bring to you this week, even before we went down to Oklahoma, and it's funny how the Lord just kind of confirms his word. So if you'll turn to the book of Galatians with me this morning in chapter 5. There was a couple things the Lord spoke to me in a dream. Actually, this wasn't a dream. This was real life. I was awake for this one. This was Friday night at House of David. Two things the Lord said, and one we've already done this morning. I felt like he said, invite the people to come up for worship. And if they do that, something is going to break off of your congregation. Something about a separation between being a spectator and being a worship leader. I just want you all to know that you're all called to be worship leaders. You're called to lead yourself in worship, right? You stir yourself up to worship the Lord. You don't just hang back. This isn't a spectator sport. That's why I encourage you to come up. And I'm just saying, don't wait to be asked. Just do it. Come up. Worship the Lord. Get as close as you can. This is the praise pit right here, okay? This is the praise pit. And you're always invited up to worship the Lord. And I'll tell you what that does. You stimulate the Lord to move closer to you. He says, draw near to me. And what will I do? Draw near to you. I think physically, you can demonstrate that. You can draw near to the Lord. He draws near to you. I love the sound of that rain on the roof. It's like the Lord is raining on us. He's sending refreshing. That's what breaking the yokes was all about. Just to say, you know what? We're done with the past. We're breaking off assignments. There were words I was hearing for y'all this morning, and I just didn't have time to deliver them because there were so many people in line. I wanted to make sure we got to everybody. But I'm telling you, the Lord is speaking. If we are listening, he is speaking. And today, the word that he gave me is kind of an interesting word. Anytime the Lord says, say this, then you know that it's something that he wants spoken. In fact, I did have a dream this week. You're going to think I'm just a nutcase. But, you know, it's like not every dream. I have pizza dreams too, okay? I have those kind. But every once in a while, I'll have one that I know is from the Lord. And especially, I know if it moves me to tears when I tell my wife about it afterward. And this one was one of those. And I'm not going to share the details of the dream. Here's just what I'll give you the ending scene. Is I was on a platform like this, and the Lord began to just download. And the Spirit of the Lord was on me, and I began to hear the Father's voice while I was standing here. Which, you know, is really, as a broadcaster, we're taught to really despise dead air. You know what I mean? It's like silence on radio is never a good thing. In fact, I have nightmares sometimes that the song has run out and I'm like locked in the bathroom and I can't get to the console. I have those dreams. I do. And there's dead air. It's like the worst possible thing. So as a speaker, you know, I want to be engaging. I want to. But in my dream, I was on the platform and I was speaking, but then I began to hear the Father speak and I just got quiet. And I began to listen to hear his voice. And then I would just simply repeat what I heard him saying. That's all I was doing. And it was like something was changing. Like it wasn't just me talking anymore. It's like I was translating for the Father. You know, like when I go to foreign countries like Togo or the DR, I have to have a translator that translates for me in Spanish or in French. And it's like I was hearing and just repeating what I heard. And I'm believing that it's going to change the way that I speak to y'all. It's not that I don't think I've been speaking the word of the Lord before, but I'm going to train my ear to listen better. So sometimes I just may be quiet. I told the people in the pool yesterday, I'm just going to take a minute to listen. And so we just stood there in awkward silence in the water. But I was listening. And if you'll all give me permission, that's how I'm going to preach to you today. I'm just going to listen. I'm going to repeat what I hear. The Lord gave me a word. It's in Galatians 5. And it's, you know, again, it's sometimes when the Lord gives you things, like some of these pictures that the Lord was sharing with us yesterday, it's interesting when we were working together in tandem. And this is kind of new for us, ministering in a team. The Lord often speaks to me in pictures. I'll see things in my mind. And yesterday, the Lord would give me a picture and Krista a picture. And you put the two of them together, and it made the complete, it's like a jigsaw puzzle, right? So this word from the Lord today is like, it's not exactly what I was looking for or what my natural mind would have been drawn to. But how many of you know we want to hear what the Lord is saying today? That's what we need. So Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to start reading in verse 5. This is Paul, the father, the apostle, you know, speaking to one of his child churches, you know, one of his babies in the faith. I just love this, by the way. I love that I'm going to be a grandpa. And it just changes. You realize this is for generations.
That's right. We're leaving a legacy.
There you go. See, listen, she's tag team preaching right now. There she goes. Galatians chapter 5, verse 5. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off." You don't even want to know what that means, okay? Paul's really getting down to the nitty-gritty here. Just picture circumcision and what else could be cut off, and you'll know what he's talking about, all right? "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love," what? Say it with me, "serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." How many of you want to hear what the Lord is saying to his church today? Amen. Me too. Let's ask him. Father, we just thank you for your word that you have given us, Lord. You've written your heart in a book, and you've left it for us. And it's not just an ancient text. It's a current, now, living, active word. You're speaking it now. And Lord, so we want to have fresh ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And not just to hear, but to do, to put it into practice. I just thank you, Holy Spirit, now. You know each need here in this room. And you're applying this word where it needs to be applied because you love us. You're desperate for us to know your love. And we just say, we receive. Just say that out loud. Say, "I receive." In Jesus' name. As a spiritual father, I really admire the apostle. I want to be a spiritual father too. That's my desire. It's been interesting for me as a pastor. I'm getting just a little older now, right? And so many of my flock are younger than me. And it's been an interesting transition because, I wasn't a pastor before. I was a broadcaster. So this is different for me, to be up close and personal with the sheep. Before, on radio, everything I did was in a studio. I never saw anybody. Now, they're right in my face, and that's okay, but I've got to learn how to operate differently as a shepherd. And I've been able to watch men that I admire, watch them operate as a shepherd. And a part of my dream, the one where I heard the Father's voice, was me being released into the gifts and call the way I am equipped. It's not going to look like every other pastor you've ever known.
That's right.
I be honest, I feel pressure to be like so-and-so because, man, what a great example of a leader. Oh, man, that guy over there or that lady over there. It's like you can see those gifts and think, gosh, I don't measure up. But the reality is God created you for a reason. We need you. We don't need another one of him. We got one. We need you. We need you to be you. So in this dream, I was released to be who I was, and then I heard the Father's voice. Interesting, isn't that the way that works? Part of my prayer over you last week and today was that any yoke of the past, any hindrance from the past would be broken so you could walk free in this new season for you. It's not just for our church, it's for you. That's what happened in the pool yesterday. Wow. I'll do a better job of teaching about what immersion means, and you know. But I'm just telling you, there was something about surrendering ourselves afresh. How many of you know it's not a one-time thing? It's a continual surrender. And to humble yourself and to go into the water afresh and say, Lord, take me again. Take me deeper. I haven't asked permission to share the story. I'm not going to share detail. But, you know, even finding out that we were going to be grandparents, there were some things that allowed us to revisit some painful past for us, you know. And we just had another layer of healing, you know. And that's what we all need, right? We need layers of healing to take us another level deeper. So if you want that, to say, Lord, take me another level deeper. Just say it out loud to the Lord. Say, Lord, take me another level. I receive the healing that I need. That's what this is about, okay? Paul addressing the Galatian church saying, guys, listen, what happened? When I left you, you were doing good. Now, why are you trying to go back under a yoke of slavery? We talked about yokes, right? Somebody has come in and caused trouble for the Galatian church. And the good shepherd here is getting his stick out saying, who is it? Where is he? I'm going to whack him one. I'm going to whack him a good one. You know, a good shepherd will do that too. Will correct when correction's needed. So don't be offended when correction comes your way. Everything the Father does is for your good. And Paul's saying, listen, a yoke of slavery is not good for you. See, the Jewish people were familiar with slavery, right? They were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves in Babylon. They knew that. Paul used that illustration. It's like, why would you want to go under a yoke of slavery again? The whole issue of circumcision. It's funny. I had my notes down before I went to Oklahoma Friday. Guess what Rabbi talked about? Circumcision, right? And I can't go into all the detail of the depth of teaching that he did, but I'll just say this. Circumcision, of course, was an outward expression of a religious conviction. But for the believer, it's a heart situation. It's a picture of a heart condition. Have you been circumcised in your heart? I'm talking to men and women today. Has your heart been circumcised? Has the flesh been cut away? Are you hearing me today? Yes. Has the flesh been cut away? And this monkey, whoever this is troubling the Galatian church, is trying to get them to go back and say, oh, well, you've not been circumcised. Oh, well, if you really were spiritual, the really spiritual people do this. Are you hearing the parallel between this guy, what he's trying to put on the Galatian church, and the freedom that Paul's talking about for those who believe in Jesus? Are you hearing that? Are we communicating today?
Yes.
That's the example that Paul's using. It's like, listen, circumcision means nothing. It's an outward thing. God's more concerned with the heart.
Right.
Somebody had told them, no, you got to have this too. Isn't that funny how that's what religion does? Oh, it's one thing to believe, but you also have to have this, this, and this, and this, and this. That's not the gospel that Paul preached. Paul preached a gospel of freedom. To try to go back and put that other stuff on us, it just complicates it. And it leads us away. Paul says it's bondage. So I believe the Lord wants to set us free today.
Amen.
And take the bondage off of us. Here's the truth. And see, this subject isn't talked about much in church today. Okay? So here I go. Because I'm a grandpa. Now I can be grumpy. I can say that. I can say whatever I want. I can feed my grandchildren white bread with chocolate syrup. Right, Grandma? That's what Grandma Jeanette did for Zach. She fed him white bread with chocolate syrup because he wanted it. Come on. That's all the reason that you need. They want it. And I love it. We're stocking up on white bread and chocolate syrup, baby. Come on. A good father loves you and only wants the best for you. But he also tells you when what you're doing isn't helpful. It isn't taking you the direction you were created to go. We don't talk about the S word much in church these days. It's not politically correct. But there is such a thing as sin. There is such a thing as sin. Tell your neighbor, look at them and say, there is such a thing as sin. I'm looking at it right now. No, don't say that. We are slaves to sin apart from Christ. Come on now. I'm telling the truth. We're slaves to sin. Talk about being in bondage. Talk about being bound up, you know, with chains and shackles. We are slaves to sin apart from Christ. And if you don't know that or don't believe that, you're still hostage. Because you think there's no such thing as sin. And I'm just telling you, oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? But the reality is, apart from Jesus, we're all slaves to sin. We were born that way. That's the condition, the human condition. Long, long ago, when our great, 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 great grandfather Adam and his bride Eve got into trouble, they led the rest of us down a path. And I just want to say today, because of what we are doing, because of the freedom that comes in Jesus, we can set a new course for the next generation. They don't have to inherit our stuff. They don't. They can launch from our ceiling. Our ceiling becomes their floor. Are you hearing me today? That's what I want for my sons and daughters and my grandchildren, natural and spiritual. If you don't know that sin is a horrible taskmaster, then you won't need a Savior if you don't believe that. But Romans 6:23 says something different. You know this verse. For the wages of sin is death. Say death. Yes. Yeah, that's the fruit of not believing that anything that you want to do is okay, whatever you want to do. No, that would be the sin nature. And the wages of that sin nature is death. But the free gift of God, say free gift. Come on now. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And guess where that life begins? Right here, right now. It doesn't have to wait until heaven. You can enjoy life, and Jesus said life to the full. Now, today. Say, that's right, preacher. Because you're being way too quiet. And we broke off that spectator yoke, right? We did that. Right? We broke that thing. Somebody's trying to convince the Galatian church to go back and take on a yoke of slavery, like a heavy weight, a heavy burden of religion. And that has nothing to do with freedom in Christ. That's not what God has for his kids. Paul goes on to say in the next chapter of Galatians, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. No need. If all we needed is the law, why did we need a Savior on the cross? See, do you see how serious this is? It's negating the work of the cross. That's pretty serious stuff. We know better. And yet, we try to go back and put on the yoke sometimes, whether it's through religion, adding things to, oh yeah, but you also have to do this and this and that. I'll never forget, I've told you the story, and not to impugn my grandmother's character. She was a godly woman who served the Lord in her denomination. When I came to Christ, the first person I told was my grandmother. I had two grandmothers. Both of them loved the Lord. One was a little more free than the other. The one that wasn't quite as free is the one I told. And I said, Grandma, I received Jesus tonight at this crusade. And she wasn't trying to be mean. She just said, oh, well, you'll get over that. Because I was all excited, you know. And I was told I should tell somebody. And the first person I told, there was that religion thing, right? And religion says, oh, you'll get over that. Because guess what? Now you got to do this and this. And this, you know, and this, and you're just flat on the floor. You can't carry all that. You're back under the yoke of sin. You're under the yoke of bondage. And that's why Paul's so ticked off at this person. He wants to He wants to emasculate this person, whoever did this to the Galatian church. It's like, okay, well, if circumcision's that big a deal, just cut it all off. Just go ahead, go for it. You might as well just go all the way, right? That's about how much sense it makes to go back under a yoke of bondage. Paul says, okay, if you insist on keeping the law, guess what you get to do? You get to keep all the law. Knock yourself out. Have fun with that. And Paul's like, listen, that's not the gospel that I preach to you. Who told you this stuff? Paul said the purpose of the cross was to see you set free. That's why Jesus hung on a cross, to set you free. And you can pray the prayer and say, okay, I receive Jesus and all that stuff, but you can still not walk free. Do you know that's possible? It's possible for me. I don't know about you. I'm still learning every day. Layers of healing, right? Learning how to walk in that freedom is, we're never going to be done with that. As long as you're alive and on the planet, there's more to learn. And can I just say this? If you're never wrong and no one can ever teach you anything about that, then we got another layer to work with there, baby. Because we're all in process. And Jesus hung on a cross so that you could be free and enjoy this freedom in Christ that he purchased for you with his own blood. Far be it from us to negate the cross of Christ by adding anything else to the freeing, simple message of the gospel. And why is this important for us? I think it's because we get so easily distracted from the purity, the simplicity of the message. And if this house, as I believe it is called to be a transformation agent, the language I've been using lately is like, we're sort of like base camp, right? And we come here to be equipped and to be trained for the purpose of releasing. To release this message, it doesn't stay in these four walls. It's got to get out of here. It's going to get out of here by people that you bring hearing this message and saying, I did not realize. I thought it was about religion. I thought it was about what I did or what I did not do. No, 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 no. That's a yoke of slavery. Jesus died to set you free from that yoke. Come on. And there'll be some of you who will be sent out from this house to take that message elsewhere. Some of you will be going to Togo with us. To Africa. Yes, you will. I prophesy in the name of Jesus. Get your shots now, right? Seriously, do you have a passport? Where's your stinking passport? How can God send you outside the borders of this country if you don't have a passport? Brought to you by the United States Passport Agency, you know? Come on. Just get prepared. I'll just warn you right now, don't ever tell God I'll never do this or that. Guess what you'll get to do? We're planning a trip to the Dominican Republic this summer. And I'll just tell you right now, ooh, baby, I hate to even say this, because you're going to all rush to the info desk to get an application. Get ready for an avalanche back there. Who's back there? Is that Rose? Get ready for an avalanche. We're planning a trip with several NFL mascots to go with us to the Dominican Republic this summer. Can you imagine what those, I was going to say kids, there's some adult kids, right? How Jesus is going to use Casey Wolf in San Cristobal? Come on! If we're just available, God wants to use us. But you know what? If we're bound up with a yoke of bondage in sin or religion, it's just going to stay us four and no more. Why would he want to bring people into that? We got enough religion going on elsewhere. We got enough people saying there's no such thing as sin. Come on. Jesus died to free you from that. And I'm not going to be so politically correct as to risk offending you by saying not everything you feel like doing is good for you. There are some things that are not good for you that you weren't created for, and God wants to break you free from that as well. Religion isn't the answer. License to sin isn't the answer. Freedom in Christ is the answer. Freedom in Christ is the answer. 1 John 1 says this in verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, man, that's the good news. See, it's not go to church, you know, pay your dues, do this, don't do that. It is walk in the freedom that Jesus paid for you. And when you sin, not if, but when, okay? Talking to myself here today, not if, but when, because I blow it once in a while. Everybody go, oh, no, right? The good news is you don't have to do anything to work at it. You just say, yep, I receive it. I want that, Jesus. You surrender. And then you're in. And Jesus says, come on, let's go change the world. And people won't care about the football field, what's happening. They won't be watching Fox News. They won't care about what's happening on Facebook. They're too busy with their face in the book saying, have you read this? Oh my gosh, we've got to talk about this. We've got to tell some people about this. It's too good a news to keep to ourselves. Come on. That's why we're here. We're not here to make a Christian country club. That's not what this is about.
That's right.
I'm kind of getting worked up today.
You are getting worked up.
Paul said the end result is what? Serving one another in love. That's it. That's what it looks like. When you are free, you serve other people because you're like, listen, I can't keep this to myself anymore. I will gladly serve. Tell me where, Pastor. 52 places at the info desk today you can plug into and serve one another in love. No excuses. And when we get that right, we'll be prepared for what God wants to do. I heard Bill Johnson say this. It's so good. He's talking about the woman caught in adultery. He said, you remember the story? Aren't you glad for stories in the Bible? It teaches things, right? Woman caught in adultery, the religious leaders bring her to Jesus. What do they have in their hand?
Stone.
Mm-hmm. First rock and roll group right there. We're going to rock her and roll her down the hill. It's like, Jesus, this woman was caught in adultery. Huh. Huh. Ready, set, and Jesus says, whoa. Not yet. And listen to what Bill says about that moment. He said, religious leaders picked up stones to kill her because that's how religion proves its zeal. It destroys.
That's right.
Better hold on to something. Wow. Religion proves its zeal by destroying.
Yeah.
Christians, I'm telling you, watch what you say. Watch what you post. Facebook has become the new sin pot of stew. And we just dump our crap in there. And we think it's righteous. That we're doing God a favor. I'm telling you. So did those Pharisees. Gonna do God a favor. How religion proves its zeal, it destroys. Listen to this. Pilate, remember him? What did Pilate do when confronted with Jesus? They brought him to Pilate. What did he do? Pilate washed his hands because he wanted to create a picture of separation. It's not me. Mm-mm. He said, and that's how the political spirit deals with problems. Don't want to associate with that person. That just blew me away. How the religious spirit and the political spirit deal with the situation. Jesus violated both of those principles. He illustrated the Father to a daughter caught in adultery. Are you hearing me? He illustrated the Father to the woman caught in adultery. That's what we are called to do. To illustrate the Father to those caught in sin. And religion is not the way to get there. and to tell her, go ahead, lady, do whatever you want. There is no such thing as sin. He didn't do that either, did he? He said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. You don't want that. That's not what your father has for you. But your father doesn't have this for you either. Come on, are you hearing me today?
You have sinned, throw the first stone.
Exactly right. There's a better way. There's a better way. I got to end. That's what God is building. A house to illustrate the Father's heart to this generation. I couldn't be happier. Nothing brings me more joy than to think that my grandchildren, have I told you I'm going to be a grandpa? My grandchildren are going to have a different definition, a different normal than what we knew growing up. Because someone dared to reject this and to reject this and instead say, we're going to illustrate the Father's heart to this generation. That's what he's building here. So, Matt told you last week's anniversary offering, from my research, was the largest offering in the history of this church. And I'll be honest with you, when I said that, it was a faith statement. And God did it through you. And we were able to take a check, over $500, to House of David, and they're going to use that to feed hungry people in Israel. And that's huge.
Yes.
It was also enough to pay for the appraisal we had done on this building. Okay? Now listen to this. And that appraisal came in $120,000 more than what we hoped it would. Okay? And we had high hopes. And it came in a lot higher than that. As a result, this week, Restoration Church has received conditional approval for the loan we've requested to purchase these buildings. Hallelujah. You can stand up for that one if you want to. I wouldn't shout you down if you shouted louder than me. I think that's okay. I think it's acceptable. It's okay to get loud. Because that means we're a step closer. Stay standing. We're a step closer to building what God's dreaming of.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.